Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi first quarter 2020 consolidated results presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Vice President, and Mr. Massimo Garavaglia, CEO. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group first quarter 2020 results conference call. Before introducing you, Massimo Garavaglia, new CEO and General Manager, let me thank you for the trust, the attention, the support that I was given in the past. I want also to thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you and answering your kind, tough questions. Back to Massimo. Massimo has joined our group, bringing a solid background of multinational business, and furthermore, he share the same founding values of the group, like teamwork, passion, and integrity. I will have no operational role in the future, but I will put my experience to support Massimo in the fields of company culture, innovation, and M&A. Welcome, Massimo. Welcome on board, and I leave you the floor for your introduction to our first quarterly results.
Thank you. Thank you, Fabio. Thank you very much. Being my first call here at De'Longhi, where I joined a week ago as the CEO, I want first to express to all of you my good afternoon and congratulations to all for the support that has been given in the past to our organization. I heard that there was a very close collaboration, and I count on working with you all in the future, and hopefully have the chance to meet in person in the near future. I'm very proud to join a team of De'Longhi in this moment, a team that has been delivering outstanding results in the past year, and I'm really looking forward to work together with all the organization and the people to the further development of the group. As here today, assisting me in this presentation, Marco Cenci, that is our Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Stefano Biella, our CFO, Fabrizio Micheli, our Director of Merger and Acquisition and Investor Relations, and Samuele Chiodetto, our Investor Relations Manager. Before I go to the comment of the quarter one results, I would like to take some time to give you an update on the COVID outbreak, and the way in which we have been able to manage the impact. I would like to do that helping myself with the support of the presentation that has been issued together with the press release, and that you should have received this afternoon. Therefore, if we look at the slides between number six through the number 11, I would like to give you a broad picture on the key points of our action plan to contain the impact of the epidemic outbreak. Now, our focus has been from the day one, the safety and the protection of our people. I start from here because we really believe, and we still believe today, since the emergency is not yet finished, that our focus and our top priority has to remain the protection of the health of all our employees around the world. Now, we started doing that in China, where the whole pandemic started, and learning from China, we were then doing the same in other parts of the world, where we've been acting immediately, putting in place all the safeguards and action to protect our employees, granting flexible working practice. Now, this is obviously a must and a priority for the future, and this has been helping a lot our people and our teams, and thanks to the extraordinary efforts of all our employees, their commitment, their dedication, we were able to stand against the difficulties of this period and show our resilience once again. Moreover, in order to keep together the workforce, we have set up several initiatives guided by our human resources and operation and supply chain department, like free learning from all the employees in the different plants and in the office, webinars, trainings, and the continuous update coming from the manager across the world. If we look at our production platform and at our operation network, at the moment, after a temporary closure in Italy, all the factories are running at full speed. We've been implementing precautionary measures in all structures in full compliance with the regulation and the best practice. We've been facing the development of the epidemic with minor impacts in our supply chain, thanks also to the availability of the components and product inventory, ensuring the full support to our distributors. Now, talking about the people as a final comment, I would like to highlight also an important, for us, a very important topic, and that has been our commitment to give back to the community where we are working and operating, with a donation of in excess of €3 million in favor of the fight against the coronavirus. Now, to make a quick summary of the some important factors that have been helping us to mitigate the potential impact of the crisis on our business, I would like to mention, on one side, the very strict management of our cost from the beginning of the crisis till today, with a very strict discipline in managing our operation and supply chain costs, our G&A costs, that has implied also some delay in hiring and delaying some replacement, the access to all the state aid measures and program wherever were available in the areas where we are operating. On the other side, we have maintained a high level of investment in AP and digital marketing in a time where we believe, and we still believe, e-commerce is providing, will provide a strong support to our business. On the other side, and finally, we have been very careful in managing our financial position, and in fact, as you see in our presentation, at the end of the quarter, the first quarter, we've been landing with a financial position of €335 million. That is also reinforced by now the decision that has been taken in April to skip the proposal to distribute a dividend and to the underwriting of a new medium-term loans for €150 million. Now, if we go to the results of the first quarter, before we open a Q&A section, as already happened in the last quarter, I would like to remind you that following the adoption of a new commercial policy that is currently under implementation, some contribution to the customer that were previously classified among the financial charges are now treated as commercial premiums and therefore netting the revenues. However, in order to provide the group's figures on a like-to-like basis, on a comparable basis with the last year, we are now presenting also normalized values, normalized figures, which exclude the mentioned effects of this financial contribution, the non-recurring costs related to the COVID outbreak. This is amounted to 4.6 million in the first quarter. The first 3 months for De'Longhi saw a strong performance both in terms of sales and margin, despite the spread of the COVID epidemic on a national and international scale after the initial outbreak in China. Now, looking at the slide number 14 and looking at the revenues, you will see that in the first quarter, our revenues were landing at 393.3 million, with an increase of 4.5% on the same period of 2019. At the normalized level, this growth represents an increase of 5.3%. The impact of the exchange rates to the revenues growth was 0.9% of the total revenues. In more details, the coffee category delivered a double-digit growth, 16.6%, boosted by all the main product families, so the full automatic machine, the manual machine, and the single-serve products. The food preparation segment, still in mid-single negative territory, showed a positive sign of recovery with a healthy bounce plus 8% on a Kenwood kitchen machines. The other segments of our portfolio, the comfort and the home care, were basically in line, slightly higher than the prior year. If we look at the split by geographies on a normalized level, Southeastern Europe grew double digits, 12.2%, with a very strong acceleration in Germany, in France, in Greece, and in the Iberian region, while there was a contraction in Italy and in Austria due to a drop in sales because of the first effect of the lockdown in these two countries. Northeastern Europe grew by 3.7% with an organic growth of 2.4%, even though with a more fragmented picture, with the countries in a noticeable progress, Russia, Ukraine, CIS countries, and others with a slowdown, namely UK, Scandinavian country, and Czech Republic. Our region, APA, Asia, Pacific, and America, was up 4.8%, 3.7% organic, thanks to the progress of North America, Greater China, Japan, Korea, while Australia and New Zealand were impacted by a negative exchange rate effect, net of which they showed the sales in line with the prior year. Finally, the only region that reported results in a negative territory in the first quarter was the region Middle East, India, and Africa, with a decline of 26.3%, 27.6% organic, due to the economic difficulties of in this area, especially the oil-producing country, and some bottlenecks in the period of the import of our products from China. Looking now at the profitability and the margin on slide 20, on a normalized basis, our net industrial margin has improved from 48.3% of last year to 50.8% this year, with savings on labor costs, transport, external processes, and a better mix in our product portfolio. The adjusted EBITDA improved from 9.7% of last year to 11.4% this year, reaching 45.2 million, despite the increase on the spend on AP, I mentioned before, even if we would not include the non-recurring costs connected to the COVID, even if we would include the non-recurring costs connected to the audit, to the COVID that I mentioned at 4.6%, 4.6 million for the first quarter, the margin was up versus the prior year. Finally, the net income was 4.4 million despite a higher tax rate. On slide 22, looking at the balance sheet and our net financial position at the end of the quarter, the good performance of the margin and the strong decrease in inventories and trade receivables were the main factors driving the improvement in the net financial position to 335 million euros, even in presence of high investment for the new plant in Romania and the new headquarters here, offices here in Treviso. The net financial position has improved by 57.2 million in the quarter and by 191 million in the past 12 months. In particular, the free cash flow before dividend was equal to 246.3 million in the past 12 months. Now, to conclude this short introduction on the results, I would like to add that in the second quarter, we have experienced the impact of the lockdown in the different countries on our sales. Although we can rely on the policy support that comes from the e-commerce, the online sales, the strength of the group's brands, and our core products portfolio. The complexity of the international scenario is still very high, and the elements in our possession at the moment are not enough to allow us to provide a reliable guidance for the full year. Having said this, and hoping that has been helpful to understand better our results, we can now open the floor to Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Nicolas Langlet with Exane. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Yes, thank you.
All right, perfect. I've got three questions, please. The first one, are you able to quantify the impact of the lockdown measures on your Q1 20 performance, just to have a sense of the core like-for-like sales dynamic in Q1? Second question, looking at Q2, what sort of sales decline are you modeling at this stage? In your competitor, ACB guided for 30% decline in sales in Q2. Is it kind of the decline you are expecting as well? And third question, I would be curious to have your view on the potential mid to long term implications of the current COVID-19 crisis, notably in terms of distribution channel and product mix.
Sorry, could you repeat the last question? We lost a part of the question.
Yeah, sure. The last question is, what is your view on the potential implication of the current crisis, notably in terms of distribution channel and product mix?
Yeah, I mean, maybe on my side, on the first question with the lockdown effect, as I mentioned, we have been having a relatively minor impact on our supply chain, thanks to the whole action that we have been taking. So all the plants have been picking up very fast, and we were able to replenish all our stocks and inventories in a way that the impact has been limited. In fact, we have been landing with good growth for the quarter. I think where you can see the an impact on the quarter has been definitely in some countries, as I mentioned before, especially in Italy and in Austria, and partially also in France. While without saying obviously the region Middle East and Africa that I mentioned, with a sharp decrease that was due to the lockdown, but also to other effects that are related to the oil, the oil crisis. The other effect, obviously, that we have experienced has been the impact on our distribution channel, because most of the stores in some countries have been starting to close down during the month of March, and therefore, you know, we had clear shifts on consumer demand from the traditional customer to the online, pure online provider. So this has been the area where we have seen the most relevant impact of the lockdown on the quarter. And I have to say, and I mentioned it in my presentation, that the fact that we were able to shift fast in our organization to grab the opportunity in the e-commerce and online has been a very important element, a very important factor of the delivery, being able to deliver the results that I mentioned before. For the Q2, we are now evaluating the development. We are now closely evaluating how long it will take for the different countries and the main countries where we are playing to catching up after the lockdown. Some countries are already starting to do it now. Some countries will start to do it a bit later during the month of May. Today is for us difficult to predict exactly what will be the impact. What I can say is that many actions that have been taken in the past months, we believe that will help us also in the second quarter. Now, not easy at the moment to make, as I said, a prediction, to make a forecast, but for sure we see these actions that we have been taken to help us also in the evolution of the second quarter of this year. For what is concerning the potential impact in the future, I mentioned at the conclusion of my presentation, we are at the moment going very granular to understand in the different parts of the world how we have to adjust ourselves to minimize the impact. As you know, we have taken a decision, and you have seen it also in the first quarter, to maintain our promotional activity and investment in AP to support our brands, and we are committed to do that also in the months to come. As soon as we will be in a position to have more information, more accurate information, to provide a forecast, will be our duty to do so. And we will do it promptly. I'm sure that you understand that at the moment the volatility in the markets is making this task more complex and difficult also in our industry. But we'll be again our duty to make sure that we will provide information as soon as we have a better visibility on the development in the next quarters.
Okay, perfect. And maybe if I can add just a quick one. So you just said that you are committed to increase A&P. You did so in Q1. You expect to do so in the coming months. Does it mean that for the full year, you plan to increase A&P spending as percentage of sales?
Yeah, maybe just to clarify, my point, we want to keep our level of support to our brands, our A&P, in line with what we planned, so in line with the numbers, with the figures of the prior year, slightly higher probably, but in line with our plans. So basically, numbers that will be in the range of the level of spending of the prior year.
All right, perfect. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. I mean, the first one is on the savings, slide 8. Can you quantify which is the amount of savings that you are expecting for all the measures that you have put in the slide? The second one is on the support that I suppose you are giving to some of your main clients. I know that some retailers are asking the industry to, how can I say, to help them in with the payment of bill, rescheduling all the terms of payment. So I was wondering if you are doing some action in terms of finance, and which are the effects that are you expecting from these moves. And last but not least, let me thank you, Fabio, for all the patience and openness in answering our questions over the year. I think that we are definitely gonna miss you. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe on the first point that you mentioned, talking about our cost, the discipline I mentioned below is targeting to maintain our fixed cost in line with the level of prior year. So all the measures that have been put in place, they should allow us to stay within this target. While on the credit and requests coming from the customer on kind of financial support, we have been managing the situation very well in the first quarter. We are continuing to do that also in these months. In fact, you see it, one of the positive impact that we had on the net financial position came also from managing better the part of the working capital related to the receivable. We are having a one-to-one conversation in some cases, but I have to say that at the moment we have been able to manage the situation very well, and I think we are on that side in a situation that where we don't see any kind of, at the moment, any kind of problem or any kind of difficulties in handling the receivable and in handling this type of discussion with the customer.
But do you think that by year end you can have the situation back to normal, or do you think that this help can extend into the next year?
You mean on the receivable side, on the credit side, our situation at the moment is normal. I mean, we didn't have any impact of that. Obviously, it has required in some cases to have a one-to-one because obviously there has been a demand, but I think we is fully under control, so we don't see deviation at the moment with the situation that we had in the prior year. Of course, your point is valid. We will continue to monitor in the next months. We will continue to do so, and we are very determined to put a very high priority on handling this part of our working capital. So, in essence, at the moment, we don't have any impact on our credit coming from this difficult moment in the market.
Thank you.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for taking my question. I have two. The first one is on your fourth quarter performance. If we compare your pace of growth, mainly in Europe and I guess also in the US, versus your main peer group, SEB, we see a very different performance. I was wondering whether, in your view, this was simply related to a easier comparison base versus the first quarter of last year for you, or you feel like you have achieved some market share gains in Europe and in the US versus Group SEB. And the second question is on Middle East. I was wondering, in your view, how much of the decline in the first quarter was related to temporary elements, and which kind of pace of growth you see as sustainable, let's say, in full year 20?
In Europe, that obviously for us a very important market, I would say probably the combination of the two things that we have said, but I would like to put the accent on the fact that we have been holding in the most important markets for us in Europe. So I mentioned before growth that we had in Germany, in France, in the UK, in Russia, and in Ukraine, that are for us very important markets. So I have to say that in the core market we have been able to have a significant growth. That has implied in some cases also to gain in shares. This is a bit the way in which I would probably look at these numbers. For what is concerning the region, Middle East, is a region, as you can see, where we had the only region where we had a decline. We remain worried because of the situation in which is evolving, also with the recent news coming from Saudi Arabia, that is a very important market in the whole region. Therefore, you know, we are keeping a very strict eye on that. To us, at the moment, it's very difficult to foresee what will be the evolution. What is happening on the oil market, what is happening on the different changes in the fiscal schemes applied in the country in Saudi Arabia, definitely this is not helping for a short term recovery. So we will remain vigilant. We have our plan, but of course we know that for the next months we will play in a difficult market there.
Thanks. Maybe just a brief follow-up. when we look at the comparison with SEB, do you feel like you are in the position to continue outperform your most relevant peer in Europe, even in the following quarters?
Obviously we are really, you know, very focused on, very busy with implementation of our strategy. We want to remain very disciplined in that. If maybe I can bring an element for attention, is I refer to what I said before, the fact that we decided or we confirm the fact that we believe in our brands, we believe in our core products, and we believe that we need to continue to support them. So, but I don't know if this can help to explain certain things, but internally we are very committed to do that. So, in line with the plan, in line with the prior year, and obviously every player has his own game plan. But on our side, we think that this is the way forward for us in the core products. And in all our brands.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about the performance. So you made very well in kitchen machines that grew by 8%, while other categories in the food business were implicitly very negative. I would like to better understand this point, if I can. Secondly, about net working capital, I would like to have the number of delta net working capital in the first quarter, excluding taxes, so the pure net working capital trend. And finally, you stated about a very difficult to provide us a guidance for the second quarter, but if you could give us an hint about the trend in April that you probably have in mind. Thank you very much. Hello?
Yeah, we are here, just a while.
Maybe, Fabio, if you want to take this question specifically on preparation that...
Well, obviously, first of all, I think that, as I mentioned many times, when you see a decline in the Middle East, often this has an impact on the overall performance of food preparation. Most of us sales in the Middle East are food preparation. Therefore, having a weak quarter on Middle East, it is the reason for also weak performance of food preparation. I have to say that probably food preparation has been slightly impacted by the COVID because most of our food preparation products are made in China. And this is affected in the last couple of weeks of March, our Middle East sales. Second thing is also we had a decline in food preparation due to exiting some product lines in Australia, which also added some negative growth. And again, actually I was quite pleased by the bounce back of the kitchen machine, which we are expected to help the group in the next months. And Massimo as this certainly as a priority, as we have shared this in our discussion so far. But all in all, I think that food preparation has reached a bottom and is ready now to finally bounce back, obviously, relative to the COVID situation across the world.
Yeah, and for what is concerning the net working capital, essentially, if you want to take the question.
Sure. Yeah, you are mentioning the working capital, operational working capital, so without tax items. And in Q1, at the end of Q1, the operating working capital was 311 million compared to 395 in the at the end of first quarter 19.
And finally, if you could answer my question about the April trend, if you may, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned about the guidance, so I'm sure that you will understand the considering the current circumstances and the market environment is difficult than to give a clear view at the moment. What I can say is that, we believe at this moment that there will be an impact in the remaining part of the year, something that was very mitigated in the first quarter, but will be probably an impact in the next part of the year. At the same time, we also believe that the action that we have been putting in place in the first quarter that we'll continue to do in the remaining part of the year will help to limit these negative trends. So as soon as we will be able to give a well-educated guidance, we will come back immediately. We'll be probably lower than initially we have estimated at the beginning of the year. But for sure, the fact that we have been activating a lot of action to support our online and e-commerce sales, this is something that makes us a bit more resilient, also for the near future. So this is, you know, much I can share at this moment. I think we require now to follow up very closely the openings and the lift of the restriction in the main market for the month of May and June, and only then probably we'll be in a position to be a bit more precise and accurate in fixing the guidance for the rest of 2020.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Thibaut Decret with 2R Capital Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking my question. So I have two questions on the top-line trends. The first one is, what do you think has been driving the strong increase in coffee machine sales during the first quarter? Do you think that it is linked to the continuous shift that we're seeing from filter to espresso coffee machines? And the second one is, in your view, do you believe that there could be a long-term trend which could emerge from the current situation with people spending more time at home and thus spending more on your products? Thank you very much.
Yeah, on the coffee, maybe here, indeed, it has been a very important growth. It's our core, one of our core categories. For sure, benefiting from the AP spending in the starting with the plan in the last quarter of last year, that has been continuing also in the past month, and this is part of our plan to support this category also in the future. I have to say that for coffee is also some markets, the one that you have been seeing, and also you find it in the presentation, growing faster, like Germany, France, US and UK, there has been also a market share gain. On the long term, we experience at the moment, and we definitely hope that this trend will continue. The trend will continue with the people that they are spending more time at home with smart working, home working, with a home that is becoming more a place for experience and consumer experience, obviously, at home. We hope that will also continue. We see it at the moment continuing, obviously. We hope that there will be also a trend in the future, and definitely we believe to have a portfolio that is perfectly fitting with this trend. Now we will see the evolution in the next months, but for sure it's something that at the moment we clearly see happening, and with the extension of smart working in many companies and in many markets also for the next months, we probably see continuing also in the next quarters.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. So a few questions from my side, some of them for the new CEO, Mr. Galaraia. So if you can tell us why basically did you accept to join De'Longhi, so embark yourself in this new challenging role. And what's your priority list for the coming months beside protecting the company employees, as you were already mentioning? Then going back to the AMP, just a follow-up, maybe I didn't catch correctly when you mentioned that the AMP strategy has not been changed so far, and it would remain in line with last year. So I was wondering if you are referring as a percentage of sales or in absolute terms. And The other question is on page 9 of your presentation, there's an interesting chart on the online channel trend showing almost 20-30% growth in February and March. So I was wondering if this trend was also continuing in April. Thank you.
Maybe for the first question, I've been probably was communicated also before, spending nearly 30 years of my career working for a large multinational company in the food business, Barry Callebaut, listed in the stock exchange in Zurich. And when there was the opportunity to join De'Longhi, I was really very delighted to see, to explore this opportunity, and really very happy to be able to join, and very happy to see the support and the trust of the family. I knew De'Longhi before because of the coffee, and okay, I was in food in other categories, but of course I knew the company, despite I've been spending most of my career abroad and not in Italy. But again, also very happy to see now that I'm joining, even if since not long, to see that the first impression that I had been reconfirmed when I joined the company. Great company, great people, very agile and flexible, and with a fantastic portfolio, full in trend with the current development of the market. So yeah, this is maybe once we will have the chance to meet in person, I can elaborate more on that. But very happy to be here, and very happy to have made this step of my career at this stage. Now, talking about the AP strategy, maybe just to clarify a bit what I was mentioning. Yeah, indeed, we want to keep our plan untouched. We want to keep our investment in line with what we planned at the beginning of the year, so with a percentage on the total sales around 12%. That was similar, slightly higher than what we had the prior year. Now, in terms of priority for myself, obviously there is a lot of work now together with Fabio to manage not only this transition but also to manage the current situation that requires full attention from myself and from my team. We will have the intention in the next months to prepare ourselves for the next 3 years midterm plan. So we will work on that all together. We will finalize a bit our set of targets and ambition. So we will have the possibility then to elaborate further on that. I have to say that, you know, on the short run, I think we have our hands really plenty of things to do to manage the current situation, to make sure that we are continuing in our implementation of the action plan that we have been putting in place considering the market situation. Talking about e-commerce, yeah, the slide is showing the evolution of the e-commerce and the online business for us. And I think it's self-explanatory in a certain way. We believe that there will be a continuation. I think in the next quarters we see more evident in some market than in others. But I think it's on an overall basis there is a growth of the penetration of e-commerce, and we are organizing ourselves even better, possibly in the different market to support that.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon to everybody. I hope you can hear me. First of all, Mr. Caravaglio, welcome on board. And I got anyway, a bit of a tough question for you, in the sense that everybody knows that the success that the De'Longhi family has built around the coffee business, and that speaks for itself. But in the last few years, the painful note was very likely coming from the kitchen segment. And I was wondering if you can just share with us, and I recognize maybe it was maybe too fast for you, what are your first thought of this product category within the De'Longhi portfolio, and what are your, let's say, assumptions to revise growth? Because we will, maybe at least personally, we would love to be more positive on the equity story, but that's the product category for the time being prevents us on doing that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question. I personally, and that's my view, don't think there is anything wrong to focus ourselves on a segment and a category that is growing worldwide. We will probably have to do it more and do it better. So that's definitely an opportunity for the future. So I believe in coffee. I think all the consumer experience around coffee is a very intriguing one, and definitely is a trend in the most important market around the world. And I think we have internally a lot of know-how, a lot of technology, and possible innovation to support this category even further. Now, talking about the portfolio management, we touch base on the food preparation. There has been a development in the past years which we have to take in account, but I think also there we have a great brand with Kenwood, with Braun, and therefore I think there would be also the opportunity to follow up very closely the development of this brand that I think they are core for De'Longhi. They are in the food area, that is definitely an area especially for domestic appliances and for domestic application that is becoming, again, very interesting. We will have with the team, with Fabio, discussion on how we can re-energize that part of the business. We already have some ideas on that, so we will come back on it. But I believe that these two categories, the food and the coffee, that deserve both the right attention. There are global businesses. There are definitely, at the moment, in what we see, a trendy part of the market. Obviously, beside the fact that we said that they are strategic, it also will depend on our execution. So we are very committed to look at that and to continue to support both the coffee and Kenwood and Braun for the food preparation part in the coming years.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Francesco Brilli with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, and thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of quick questions. The first one is on the online channel. If you can provide us with some more color on which products or which category are performing better in the online, and what are you expecting for the next coming quarters? If there are some specific category that is performing, overperforming the others. And the second one is on potential M&A. I would say that given also the your cash position, I would like to ask if process of scouting for some potential targets is still going on, and if so, which kind which timing do you think it will take to scout something, and if so, probably is too soon, but probably at the end of the year, do you think there will be some potential targets that will be appealing, more appealing, given the current situation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the question. On the online channels, I can, you know, give you a straight answer. Basically, all the categories are growing. I have to say that we saw development in all the categories, all the brands. Maybe one exception is the comfort, due to the specificity of the product range. But all the rest of the categories are going nicely with the online, with the commerce, with the pure online provider, and also with the website of the traditional distributor and traditional customer. On the M&A here, maybe Fabio, you would like to add something on this topic?
Yeah, it's no new. M&A is no news in a sense that we made no secret that M&A is an important part of our company story, and also we hope we play an important role in growing De'Longhi in the next years as a group. Obviously, it's an incredible time. It's an incredible opportunity. We see that the COVID outbreak is really marking a line between the companies that are in good strength, in good shape, and with the ones that are now starting suffering. I'm happy to see that now De'Longhi is accelerating despite, at least in comparison to competition. I'm not sure that we'll now post another growth quarter next quarter, but the important is that we are accelerating comparing to our main competitors. Now, and still enjoying a strong cash position. Today we have 400 million euro almost in net financial position, which is the highest cash level ever had by the company. And we will continue monitoring the company. I think that we want to make an acquisition, but at the same time we'll be very selective. And today even more than before, we see some companies are really struggling. The companies that don't have a real strong iconic product, the companies that don't have a strong brand, and the companies that are just servicing the trade without a real iconic position in the market, I think are suffering. So I think that I'm happy to see that our say brand portfolio is well positioned, that we have a strong iconic core products with strong leadership, and we can accelerate with organic, and we will make acquisition hopefully soon, but again with selective approach, because we want to grow and we have the cash, but again we need to find the right target, a target that is able to outperform competition in the new environment.
Thank you very much.
For any further questions, please press star and one now.
So thank you very much. Thank you all. And as I said, hope to see you in person soon. So thank you very much for assisting to this call.
Thank you.